The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
To my friend Nate and all the listeners of this podcast, no one circles the wagons than Nate the Skate. Circle the wagons, Buffalo.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Did you guys find out what Mahomes was so pissed about?
Yeah, he's pissed that that touchdown didn't work out for him, I think. Pretty sure.
Somebody
but Tony
said
was obviously way across.
That never happens. Tell me that didn't look like a Bills ending for the Chiefs, like where it was just a perfect play, ends in a touchdown, everyone's going nuts, the stadium's going wild. What a crazy, it's like perfect Frank Wycheck just passed away. They pass, you know, Kelsey passes across the other side of the field, Tony runs it in, completely untouched, touchdown. They're up, right?
Well, the thing is they threw the flag before the amazing part of that play happened, right? So they're committed to it at that point.
Yeah, they have to.
So, like, I saw the flag before he passed it back to the – like, before he caught it and passed it back to the other guy. So, like, they had to, stick with it at that point.
When you saw that flag, though, you're thinking offsides on the Bills, right? Like, why would they – they never call offsides on the offense.
It could have been a hold. Who knows? Yeah, like, I didn't know.
Hands to the face by the Bills. Something having to do with the Bills is what I figured.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kept thinking too, like earlier in the game, there was like the Bills had like third and something at midfield where it ended up being another whatever. But there was a missed defensive hold on the Chiefs on that one drive.
Oh, on that
game. Yeah. And that could have changed the course of the game.
Yeah. They went through
like, I'm thinking like of stuff like that throughout the game. And, you know, and then the Chiefs complaining at the end. It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, if that's what, I don't know if that's what Mahomes was complaining about. I assume it was, but. I don't know.
He was livid. I mean, he had to be held back by his teammates. You think he was that upset? I mean, because who else could he be upset? He can't be upset at the refs for that. Like, he didn't check. The receiver's got to check in with the ref on that side of the line of scrimmage to be like, you know, get the okay, like, I'm good, right? Like, and he didn't, apparently. So you don't do that. You're offsides. It's going to be called or illegal formation or whatever the play is. But
yeah, like, you see stuff like that and, like, you know, when Diggs does something like that, everybody's all like, oh, Diggs wants out of Buffalo, right? And now, like, you know, Mahomes is like, he's just upset. It's fine.
I know. He's passionate. he's got real tenacity, that one. He really just wants to win. When Diggs does it, though, it's the exact opposite. Dude, could this be the unwinding of the Chiefs and, like, the Bills just, like, ascending to that next level? You know, because when we talked about this a few weeks ago, we're like, okay, the Bills have to go 1-2 against the next two games, the Eagles and Chiefs. I think, Mike, you said that. And then they have to go 3-1 the next four games to really have a good shot, preferably 4-0. They went 1-2 in the last two games, so.
Yeah, I think it's more than just, I mean, from a grand scheme of things, I think it's more than just the Chiefs, because they've beaten the Chiefs at Arrowhead 3 years in a row. I don't think the Chiefs are the problem. I think the Bills get in their own way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Cincinnati also, right? Like, That's been an issue. You look at the standings now, and there's a lot of teams at 7-6, and the Bills are at the end of that line. They're still 11th, right?
Hold on, I'm bringing it up right now.
I feel like they still need to win out, which they can do.
I think they can lose one.
But I think they got to win out.
I think you're forgetting. You are forgetting, but I guess you are forgetting. All those other teams play a lot of games, and they're going to lose, and they're going to drop out.
Well, the Bills could lose a couple of games, too.
The Bills, no.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if those all teams drop one game and the Bills drop a game too, the Bills lose a lot of tiebreakers. I think they even Romo said this, but like their conference record is terrible.
Can we just mark this down? Like, are we starting? Sorry.
Yeah, we've already started.
I wasn't paying attention.
It 5 minutes. It says it right there.
Yeah, it's been going on, man.
You always complain that we're not recording. You know, you're saying are we recording?
I'm saying always record, but at least tell me when we're starting.
We're starting.
I'm surfing
that's
the
it.
Kansas City.
There's no going back. If he hears the record button, that's it.
I'm surfing Kansas City sites, just injecting it into my veins. So good.
If this was a real studio, the outside, like, on-air light would be on, and Mike would be like, he'd be like Will Ferrell in Anchorman, be like, I'm on? I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
The last time I was listening. You guys were all talking about ASMR. We were crunching. You were slurping.
That was 5 minutes ago, buddy. We're on it. We're on it. But yes, we started. We started for those that are listening, welcome to Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We are talking about the Buffalo Bills victory over the Kansas City Chiefs 20-17 to keep their playoff hopes alive. What an ending. I didn't see the Bills coming out of that one. It felt like, I mean, the Bills were 2-6 this season in one score games, and going into this, it's like 17-14, the Bills are winning, then it's tied up 17-17. You're like, now. The Bills, like, especially with that botch 2 minutes before the end of the game, like the Bills were driving, and instead of trying to like just get a first down and run some clock, they're like throwing bombs to a covered Diggs. You know what I mean? Like, they're throwing wide receiver screens that have not worked all game. Trying that, and then, you know, third down, and he gets like a shovel pass for 1 yard, and they happen to kick a field goal, and the Chiefs still have like a minute 40 left. You know, to me, I'm like, you have to run off clock in that opportunity. Just go for the first down. Don't go for the score right now. Go for the first down, you know?
Dude, if he ran three plays, the running game was not working for them since halftime, or really since the first quarter. It felt like if they handed it off and went right into the line, and KC called a timeout, we would be calling for McDermott's head, saying you're not aggressive enough. You're playing the Chiefs, the best team in the league, a future Hall of Fame quarterback, and the best, arguably the best player in the league. Like, oh, you got to go for the touchdown. You got to keep your foot on the grass. You got to stay aggressive. If he ran the ball there, we would be killing him if he did not get a first down.
I would have preferred, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, of course, always, but I would have preferred three like timeouts taken as opposed to just the way it ended up. I mean,
if KC scored there though, like you saw Allen smiling on the sidelines, then they get the ball back with a minute 20.
True. They did have a lot of time. I was kind of
like, I love seeing that. Like, hey, fine. We'll take the ball and we're going to score. Except don't say that, because that backfires horribly.
No, I'm agreeing with Mike on this one.
That's gone right 0% of the time whenever someone said, we're going to take the ball and we're going to score. All of a sudden, the other side of the ball is trying a million times harder than they ever would have before.
I mean, in the moment, I agree with you 100%. I'm like, what are they doing?
Hey, I'm not against, like, don't get me wrong. I like the idea of being aggressive. That idea and that thought of being aggressive makes sense. I just didn't like the plays that were being called, right? Like, I didn't like forcing it to Diggs. That didn't make sense. It wasn't working all games. Diggs was not, either he was having an off game or he was just covered really well, which he was. And also, I'm sure, held and all those things. It just wasn't his game. Just stop trying to make it work. Right? Do something else, like dink and dunk down the field, be aggressive, sure, pass the ball. But when he's covered one-on-one and he's been covered pretty well all game, now's not the time to try to force it and see if something will happen, right?
I agree with both of you. No, like from your aspect, Nate, yes, definitely some of the I liked a lot of play calling and I didn't like a lot of play calling. And in those situations where it's like something in long and you're still throwing long passes in situations where it's like, well, just get 7 or 8 yards and make it more manageable the next down. I would have rather have gone with that scenario.
Yes, you're playing for the first down, not the touchdown. Because even if you get a touchdown, the Chiefs still have, you know, a minute 40 or a minute 50 or whatever to still catch up. Like, what you want to do is score no matter what, but take off as much clock. Like, you should be playing for, like, 2nd and 4, 3rd and 2, not, like, 3rd and 10, you know, where you have to pass the ball. Like, you should be playing as if you're just trying to get the next first down, trying to get the next first down, hoping that by the time you get that field goal, which is what they ultimately got, trying to get that field goal, they have almost no time. And not that, you know, Mahomes doesn't need, I mean, because we saw 13 seconds, I know
but
that.
But they had the 2-minute warning and they had 2 timeouts.
Oh, the Chiefs did?
Yeah. I just think that negates a lot of Buffalo's ability to run off the clock.
Yeah, I mean.
But at the same time, again, in the moment, I kind of agree with you. Like, what are you doing? You're going to give it back to them with so much time left. That's how I felt. But then I'm like, wait, we always kill McDermott for laying off. So
you can't win.
Can't win.
It's like the end of the half, right? Like the Bills had, what, 50 seconds or a minute left before the end of the first half. Remember when they ended that first half with the Hail Mary? I like everyone's killing McDermott for not, you know, doing it like last week with 20 seconds and a timeout, not running a play. And this is what happens when we gave this time, small sample size, we gave Allen the ball with a minute left and like 1 timeout or 2 timeouts, I don't remember. And they couldn't kick a field goal, right? Not saying it was the wrong call. I still think it was the right call. But we always take it at face value that if Josh Allen gets the ball with 20 seconds and a timeout, that's enough to score a field goal. That was not the case, you know, at the end of the first half. It's okay.
Do you think that's indicative of McDermott like hearing criticism and changing?
Yes.
Like I've never agreed with the idea of like, oh, it is who somebody is. They can't change. Like 100%. If you come to me and you're like, hey, you're gonna get fired if you keep doing this, okay. I'll completely change. Absolutely.
It's like Ken Dorsey didn't, though. So sometimes, well, I mean, we don't really know if he was forced to or not. But yeah, you would think so. That's a great point, Mike. I think that McDermott looked at that and was like, maybe I can improve. I mean, he's always preaching growth mindset, changing, evolving, being better, right? This seemed like it was an example of that for once. So
I think so, for sure.
Yeah, so give credit where credit is due, right? So,
don't you think, like, and I don't know if it's, like, certain events have an outsized effect on, like, how we perceive things, I think, right? Like, when we were growing up, Tampa Bay was the laughing stock of the league. So I'm still always like, ah, Tampa Bay sucks. But the Bills, like, for me, Kansas City is still, like, the team, like, the best team. Like, the record, maybe not, but
they're the standard.
They're the team I least want to play. Like, they're the Super Bowl favorite. They're amazing. Like, and from top to bottom, they're team I'm most scared of. Like, I would not want to play. We can't play them in the Super Bowl, of course, but we play them in the AFC Championship game. So, like, I don't think there's anybody the Bills can't beat.
I agree. Rather than, you know.
Who would you be more scared of? Maybe the 49ers? Maybe?
Maybe the 49ers. We played the Eagles. I mean, that was a winnable game for sure. So, the 49ers.
I feel like the Bills.
There's no one in the AFC that scares me completely, but I still think this is the most open it's ever been. But any team on any given week can win. Like the Bengals could possibly make a run, potentially. Like they're not out, but would I bet that they could beat a Mahomes-led team? Like probably not, obviously, but they could. I mean, they made the Colts look silly. The Colts are still vying for a wild card.
If you had to play somebody again, Eagles or Chiefs, who do you think the Bills beat most of the time?
Is this in Philadelphia with Sean Hockley referee? No. The Chiefs. I'm sorry, the Eagles. I'd rather play the Eagles. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Poorly phrased. My apologies. Yes. Like that Eagles game, like so many of these things just go right. Like if so many plays could go either way in that Eagles game and same thing tonight.
Yeah. Like it's close.
They're both
probably as close.
But the divide between the Bills and the teams that are supposed to be the leaders of their conferences is minimal at this point. And it could go either way. The Bills could lose if they play the Eagles again head to head, but the Bills could definitely win. I guess that's my point. Like, the chasm is like the widest it's ever been, at least especially in the AFC. Like, the NFC, I think there's three teams you really have to worry about. But besides that, like, I mean, I still think that they're beatable by the Bills.
It's tough because the Bills should have won so many more games than they have.
Yeah, I mean, if you...
And they might still miss the playoffs.
But isn't this feel like 2 years ago when they had, I think they had the same record at this point and then just ran the table?
Went 11-6, yep. And won their division.
That'd be pretty sweet. Well, they won the division, but that'd be pretty sweet.
Got rid of the losses. And...
yeah.
Hell, the Jets did us a solid today, beating the Texans.
That was one thing. Woo. Yeah. There weren't too many other good things, but because Denver won and...
Colts, though, right?
And the Bengals won.
How about all
the
Colts? All these quarterbacks have gone down this year. Herbert's out. There's been a lot of AFC quarterbacks that got hurt this year.
That's right. Herbert's out now, too. Yeah. I mean, this is... It's like...
Were you... sorry, completely changing the topic. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's just Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen right now with Josh Herbert down, or with, I mean, Herbert, I mean, the Chargers are 5-8. They're not going to make the playoffs anyway at this point, but like Russell Wilson.
Maybe you shut Herbert down. Time for the Bills.
CJ Stroud went down, John, to your point. Stroud went down with a concussion today against the Jets. Yeah. What were you, so what were you going to say, Mike? By the way, real quick, since we're changing subjects with whatever you were going
to
say, Mike.
Wait, why don't we change it to mine?
No, we are. But this episode is brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at Delago.
Yeah, all right.
Quick sponsor. If you're in the Western New York or Central New York area, check out the Delago Resort and Casino on Exit 41 off Route 90 in Waterloo, New York. So should we still be
putting... Oh, that reminds me of something else. This is the first time in my life, I think... a betting company like the house has offered to, like, the cash out has actually, it hasn't yet gone back to where, like, my original bet. But, like, last week I bet, like, on the Bills to win the Super Bowl, right? Because the odds were so long. And then as soon as you make the bet, it's like, nah, we'll only give, if you want to undo this, we'll give you a tiny percentage of your money back. So you're like, man, somebody's an idiot here. And, yeah, you just feel like, man, I am one pathetic loser. If I bet $10 and the cash out is instantly goes to $4, but it's starting to creep back up. Like, I've never had that happen. Feels good. Now it's not yet. It's not yet back at 10, but it's damn close.
I was going to say you go undefeated and the Bills go undefeated and it goes up to $8. Like, what were the odds when you bet it? What was it at plus what?
It was, I think, bet $20 and you win 1,000 something.
Oh, nice.
Plus 5,500.
5,000? Damn. Yeah. I'm going to go put a bet in right now.
I was just going to say, I can't believe Mahomes. I mean, not that I can't believe, but like, it was interesting. I thought his reaction was
uncharacteristic.
Not as stoic as, like, act like you've been there before, and like just very surprised. Like, clearly, I think he was upset about the offsides. Like, I think a lot of people think, oh, he was upset about the Kelce play, the touchdown that wasn't, that got called back. But I think he was upset about, was it Von Miller being offsides potentially?
Somebody tweeted that to us. Yeah.
Mm. Did they show the replay?
I didn't see it.
I haven't been able to find that anywhere.
No.
I
believe it. I mean, look at Von Miller.
Oh, I'm yeah. So, like, no opinion one way or the other.
Just got away with one.
Every single play, there's something. And just for him to react that way, it's like, geez, it's kind of come down a couple pegs. And
I think a big part of it is, like, you look at their last, you know, what was it? Have they lost three of the last four or four of the last six, something like that? Like, it's come to a head now. It's obviously they're an easier division. Like, they're still going to win their division probably, but I can understand the frustration over the course of this mid part of the season, losing that many games.
The way that
smashing your helmet and yeah, like John, like the, like for that,
having
like,
to be geez. Held back by like, yeah, that was different. You know, all game before that. Now that was anger. I looked like, and I don't watch a whole lot of Mahomes to be honest, but he was just like his just like crybaby looks to the sideline. Like they showed him so much, obviously, like way more than they ever showed Josh Allen looking at the sidelines. But just like, oh, come on. But not just like anger, but just like, you know, like
petulance.
It's like when we used to play Madden, Mike, and he'd be beating me by four scores and be like, oh, the stupid, oh, the game's against me. I shouldn't have fumbled that three times. Right. It's just like crybaby sort of mentality as opposed to like, you know, come on, let's do this. Right. Like it was just, it was weird. And then I forgot the second thing I was going to bring up. What did you say? What were you just saying, John? I was going to say something off that.
Oh, it's weird that they cut to Mahomes more times than they cut to Taylor Swift.
This is funny. She was there for that game. Yeah, you're right. John, we should be here. I remember what we should be rooting for. Like you said, they're probably going to win their division, but they're only a game up from the Broncos. If they have the same record, do the Broncos have the tiebreaker because they just beat them? No, they're 1-1, I think. I think the Broncos lost to the Chiefs earlier this season. So they're 1-1. Never mind. I was going to say we should start rooting for the Broncos because the Broncos have the head-to-head over the Buffalo Bills, but the Chiefs don't. So if there's any way that the Chiefs can lose that division, that would help the Bills, I think.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think we want for Denver to lose.
They got to lose. They got to have. So the Bills have the same record as them right now, so we need them to lose a game while the Bills win one.
And, yeah, we went out. Yeah. Like, cause just like all the other teams, right? There's like 4 or 5 teams at 7-6, but we're last.
Yeah.
So we need all the, like, we need to win out. I don't think we can lose a game.
I think we can lose one.
And if we do, it'd have to be next week, right? NFC team, maybe. I don't know. I think we should win out.
I think there's so much.
We got to win out. We got to win out.
Left to play.
And I think they can win out. I'm not saying that they can't, but I'm saying that they should and that they almost have to.
They almost have to. The next game is against the Cowboys in Buffalo.
What are the playoff odds? Do we know that? Like, what are they right now? Even without factoring in if they win out or not, like right at this moment, what are the playoff odds?
Bills are 39% chance to make the playoffs. They were like at 17 last week. So what do you want to say? If the Bills beat the Cowboys, they go up to 60%.
Right, and that's against an NFC team.
Yeah. Well, I guess that Bills-Chargers game is looking a lot better if Herbert's out. Let's say the Bills win every game, but here I'm going to share my screen with you guys so you guys can see what the hell I'm doing. So if the Bills win every game, but the Cowboys game, 74% chance of winning. If they win out, 99% chance of getting there. If the Bills win every game except the Dolphins, 60%, basically, 60-61%. Bills went out. They're almost guaranteed to make the playoffs. Wild card. They don't even give you chances to win the division. They're like, you're not winning the division, no matter what you do.
Did you guys see anything about the Andy Reid press conference after the fact? Like, he was complaining, no. Like, usually they get warnings about those kind of offside calls. Like, what?
What?
You do?
Isn't that what preseason is for? Like,
jeez. He's, like, saying the quiet part out loud.
Is he really blaming the refs? It's different if it's, like, and if he call like a holding call or something like that, but if you line up in the incorrect spot, can you expect the refs to bail you out and to tell you what to do? It sounds like they're reeling, doesn't it? It sounds like they're on tilt. like
I said before, like they threw the flag before the big play happened.
Yeah,
I would suspect if the big play happened and then they saw whatever, they might have looked the other way.
Wait, they threw the flag before the big play. Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah, they saw him. He lined up offsides. He threw the flag, and then like, oh, Kelsey caught the ball and threw it, and oh, you guys not shown. Well, the flag was already thrown at that point.
If it had to be at that point, yeah.
It wasn't like they threw it after a huge play happened.
Yeah,
right.
That might be top 10 NFL history.
Yeah,
elevate the Chiefs any more than you need to, right? But like. Maybe to end the game, it'd be top 10, but just like in Arrowhead, comeback win like that. That would have been. If you weren't a Bills fan, that would have been amazing.
Doesn't it? Like, can we just put this all in perspective as Bills fans talking about the podcast? Like, in the moment, we just finished watching the game as we're recording this, basically. And it's like, wouldn't that have made sense that that's how the Bills lose the game? Like, aren't you looking at that before you knew there was a penalty? You'd be like, this makes sense. Like, I can see this happening. Like, this just...
If it were to end the game, I think the game. With time left, looking at Allen, two time... Like, hallelujah, they finally have two timeouts. I would have loved to see if they can... I'm glad it ended the way it did, but I'm not jumping off the bridge till the minute 20 is elapsed. I think eventually the Bills will put it together, and I think Josh Allen is the MVP of the league the way he... That throw falling out of bounds, know where you are. Two guys pushing you. Come on,
that play. That's sweet. Insane. Can we talk? That's got to be the sweet Sassy Malassi play of the game, right?
Like, for sure.
Him like going out of bounds, just throwing it, and then not only that, there's like 10 things that happen in that play because Latavius Murray just happened to catch it, and then he fumbled it right away. It goes, but it doesn't go to bounds.
I think the catch, like because they called the Kelsey, like at least it was kind of consistent.
It was, yeah.
You could make the argument that that wasn't a catch, mm-hmm. too, I think.
I agree completely. I thought they were both not catches, but they were consistent. So I was like, all right, well, they called the one way. They called the other one the same way. Oh, my gosh, what just happened?
At least you're consistently wrong.
I didn't think either one was a catch.
Me either. I thought they were both fumbles or incomplete passes or whatever. Yeah, they're consistently wrong, thank God, for both of us. But yeah. That's what kills you, though. That's what killed us in the Eagles game, was that they weren't consistent, and then they completely skewed away from the Bills, right? Like, so this play didn't go for the Bills, and neither did the one that should have been called the same way against Eagles. So,
on that play, I think it was the one where is it Gabe Davis? Yes. It's just like rolling around on the ground,
yeah,
looking like you're making a snow angel or something. Like I did.
It looked like he knocked it out with the one hand, like knocked it out of bounds, which is what you want to do in that position. You want to knock that ball out without making it look like you're trying to.
Well, I think you can knock it out there, right?
Oh, like, you can. Okay.
And then it would go back to your team.
Okay. I forget what the rule is. Oh, you can't knock it forward. That's what it is. You can't like gain yardage from that point. Like, okay.
Most people would fall on it, right? And he's on his back somehow.
Par for the course for Gabe. Yeah, he's trying.
Did he have a catch?
I don't think he did. Let's see. Gabe Davis had two targets, zero receptions. I mean, I know we saw the one where like he was streaking down the middle of the field completely wide open, but Josh was just pressured too quickly. He didn't see him. So he went to the side. He went to Dalton Kincaid, which he threw a decent pass. He was just out of bounds, too high for Kincaid, but pretty good for like an all-out blitz. I mean, this is the Chiefs. Like, say what you will about their offense, like they have a really good defense. So as much as like, you know, Josh Allen looked good, he didn't look great or dominating. Like, there's a reason why. Like, the Chiefs have like one of the best defenses in the entire NFL. Like, it's not their offense. Like, they have the worst since Mahomes has been starting. They have the worst points per game on offense this season than they've ever had.
I would say if they win the whole thing, this is going to be amazing. Like, looking back, it's almost like you wish you could enjoy it more in the moment.
I know.
You'd be like, wow.
That play.
Like there's so much on the edge of making even, you're edging every week. Like, are they going to make the playoffs? If they do, they can win the whole thing.
I'd like to think I wasn't edging during this game and I finished at the end. But, you know, I'd like to finish after the Super Bowl for sure. Ride that edge. Leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills. Guess do you guys have a guess at who the leading receiver was for the Buffalo Bills?
I would say Cook, right?
Same.
Cook. Five receptions like, on was five it, targets.
Did they all come in the first quarter? Like what?
No.
Did he do
what happened in the second half?
And puncture lung and got taken? Like, I don't. What happened?
There were times where he came out of the backfield where I'm like, he's open. Like, pass it to him. And then Josh keeps looking downfield and runs around for a little bit, then runs out of his pocket, you know, like he usually does. Like, he's right there. It'll get you 6 yards, 7 yards, right? Like, that's all. That's fine on second down. Just take that. But yeah, what I thought in general, like, how refreshing was it that Joe Brady was even using the running backs in the pass game? Like, John, you've been saying this because you've been a big Captain Cook fan. Like, you're just, like, that's why you drafted him. Like, use him the way he was used in Georgia. Pass him the ball. And look what he did with it. He was the lead. If you guys want to put someone on the Sweet Sassy, or I'm sorry, on the Wall of Fame for this game, I definitely put Cook up there, if not the guy on the Wall of Fame. Like, he had an amazing game. He had, stats-wise, he had 141 yards from scrimmage. And one touchdown. Like that's an incredible game. And I know Josh Allen you know, obviously had that amazing play we just mentioned. Like, statistically, a pretty good game, 23 for 42, 233 yards, one touchdown, one interception. But Cook, man, Cook was a huge part of this game.
Yeah, love Cook. He'd probably be a close second for me, but, like, I got to put the defense up. I mean, holding the Chiefs to 17 points, and they've been banged up all year with key players out for the season. It's got to be the defense still.
Hyde went out this game, too. Epinesa went out after that first batted interception.
Yep, and Milano's been out, White's been out, and all this other – Daquan Jones has been out. Defense to hold the Chiefs to 17 points, a potential Super Bowl team. Got to give it to them. I can't give it to anybody in the offense. 20 points. But Cook would be up there if I had to pick an offensive player.
I give it to Cook, but I think the defense – I mean, the defense did play a hell of a game. I mean, how many turnovers did they have? Two turnovers, right? One interception and one fumble recovery. Yeah, I mean, they did their job for sure. Mike, do you have any other honorable mentions or anyone else that you'd put on the well, – would you put Allen on the wall?
I would just say I just think the gulf between maybe Allen, Mahomes, like it's widening, especially – and if you consider durability, we're talking about these quarterbacks going down left and right. Man, thank goodness it's not Allen. I just think he's separating himself so much on certain plays, like his ceiling to just will them to victory. Like as much as Cook is amazing, like for me, he kind of disappeared the second half. And I don't think he's as head and shoulders above a replacement running back as we saw. Like the Bills are throwing other guys in there who are succeeding with varying degree. Like for me, it's geez, this season, it's Allen and everybody else. But to John's point, like awesome, of course, by the defense. But it's just like they're dropping like flies and you're plugging and playing guys.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, Allen didn't even throw to Diggs. So like Stephon Diggs' stat line, he was the fourth leading receiver. Four receptions on 11 targets for 24 yards, no touchdowns. Like, I mean, he's been absent from the Bills' offense last few weeks.
How do you not scheme him open a little bit more, though, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Something like we know Kelsey's going to get the ball, and when it's like 3rd and 18, somehow he gets it. Like,
I know, how can they do the same thing with Stephon Diggs? Yeah, something. Yeah, I mean, luckily the Chiefs have a really good secondary, but still, I mean, the Bills have a good secondary, but Travis Kelsey is always. I mean, he's there. That's why the Chiefs were having some issues like the last few games was that they were covering Kelsey so well. I had a Joe Valerio on from the Believe in Chiefs podcast, ex-Chiefs offensive lineman. We were talking about that. He's just like, besides Kelsey, they really don't have anything else in the receiving room. He's like, we're even missing like Juju Smith-Schuster, believe it or not. Like they're actually missing him. He brought an element that they don't really have right now. So, yeah. Yeah, you're right, Mike. I agree with what you're saying about Allen, because without Allen, this team, I mean, the difference between losing Cook and losing Allen, I mean, there's just no... I mean, Allen basically did this as if Stephon Diggs was injured almost and still won the game, right? So, yeah, hats off to Allen, for sure. Honorable mention. What about Wall of Shame? Who would you put on your Wall of Shame for this one? I think for me, it's easy. I put Diggs on it. And I don't necessarily know it's all his fault, and I don't think I've ever put Stephon Diggs on the Wall of Shame, but, I mean, this has just not been his game. And I don't know if it's because they're not scheming him open, so it's not maybe all his fault that he's there, but it didn't look good. He dropped a few passes tonight, passes that maybe only would have gone for a yard or two, but he just dropped them, right? You know, it was like he was, it wasn't his night.
I mean, Snead is playing like all pro level, isn't he?
Yes.
Like and just like they're double teaming, they're rotating coverage, like they're just doing anything to not let, like, I'm torn.
Well, who would there be someone else or something else that you'd put on besides Diggs?
It just felt for me like a weakness was the offensive line, like Allen not being able to set his feet and look downfield, like still superhuman effort, but offensive line, it just felt like.
And a few holding calls too, besides the lack of pass blocking. There was one time, I mean, I know that they sometimes scheme, so there's going to be a free rusher based on their, you know, their pass blocking, but. That one, do you remember that one time the quarterback gave free run and then Allen turned?
Like a head fake?
His head fake.
Turn. Yeah.
He looked like he broke his ankles on that one almost. Just like
how many quarterbacks can do that? Like, geez.
As much as people don't think Josh Allen is athletic as far as like, oh, he just runs over guys or just hurdles them or whatever, even though that's a very athletic feat to hurdle someone. Like, he's very quick in short spaces. You know what I mean? Like, he's not maybe as fast as Mahomes, quick or like fast, like distance wise, but like in a phone booth, like he's pretty quick. He can make moves. So John, anyone you'd put on your wall of shame?
It's tough for sure. I would tend to agree with Mike on the offensive line. Yeah, I think I'd go with that. Joe Brady, I saw things that I liked and saw things I didn't like. But I think the protection could have been a little bit better at times. There were times where Allen had lots of time, but I think in general, it could have been a little bit better.
I mean, the Chiefs also have three really good pass rushers. Like, they have three guys that almost were double-digit sacks going into this game. Like, they have really good pass rushers. I mean, the Bills do too, don't get me wrong. But here's so we talked about Sweet Sassy Malassi plays of the game. We gave one to that Josh Allen pass. I mean, that has to be it. But like, there's a couple of other plays that I wanted to mention. Obviously, the AJ Epenesa batting the ball to himself for the interception, like right before he got injured on that play and left the game. Like, that was an amazing play by Epenesa. Unfortunately, the injury caused Von Miller to go into the game more. And unfortunately, that interception didn't lead to any points because the Bills like punted right after that.
It felt huge, though, didn't it?
It did.
Like, at the time?
Absolutely.
Such an athletic play.
For sure. The other play I just wanted to give a shout-out to was on the last series of the game for the Chiefs. It was 3rd and 15, and Ed Oliver batted the ball away, so it was just it went right to 4th and 15, right? Like, amazing play by Ed Oliver that the Bills hardly ever bat the ball down. And to go from, like, instead of, you know, 3rd and 4 or whatever it would have been no matter what, if Mahomes had made any sort of completion at all, to 4th and 15, I mean,
felt like a freebie, because you're like, oh man, They're probably going to get two shots.
They're probably still going to get it. I mean, they got a 3rd and 18 earlier in the game, right? Like, yeah. Why wouldn't they get a 4th and 15?
It was like a lame duck pass, like floating across the middle of the field. Oh, there's Kelsey.
Oh, it wouldn't even be Kelsey. It'd be like their 4th-string wide receiver, right? Just fading out of bounds, toe taps both in. So those were, that's every, the stats of the game, wall of fame, wall of shame. Sweet Sassy Malassi plays the game brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago. Do you guys want some hot takes from Bills Mafia?
I love hot takes.
Who doesn't like a good hot take? So every time, if you're not following us, please do at CTW Pod on Twitter X. And after every game, I say, you know, Bills win or lose, what's your hot take? Bill Lasso writes, Shawnee Mack was listening to the press and it worked. He did not call the same soft defense. He brought pressure at the end. Wall of shame. He must be wall of shame. Wall of shame needs to be Ty Dunn and Kadarius. Also, JFB has created a night and day difference on offense. JFB. You guys know who JFB is, right?
Joe. Yes.
Okay. Joe freaking Brady.
Go ahead. Yes. So I just wanted to point out the soft defense versus pressure at the end. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Like, they brought the pressure against Denver and lost, and they didn't against Philadelphia and lost. So it's a risk either way, and you just have to guess right.
But couldn't you just not do prevent, but still send another another guy rather than just rushing the front four? And that's what I felt like that's what right. They were doing this time.
Well, that's, yeah, I can see
it wasn't like an all-out blitz.
Denver did seem more all-out than it was this time. So, yeah,
it doesn't have to be a suicide blitz, as like Madden would have, right? Like, there's a reason why it's called a suicide blitz. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
But yeah, agreed. Like,
God,
at least
damn,
one or two.
John is the most agreeable I've ever seen him.
Dude, after a win, man.
Well, if you make a good point once in a while, that'd be good. Yeah.
It's not so much.
It's very motivating now. I do have to say.
Always looking for John's approval now.
I'm just trying to build you guys up.
Always try. Yep. Yep.
He's been nagging me for years. It's worked.
You've been like dying for his approval now, and now you have it. It's worth so much more. Just like your dad, like, come on, dad, like, don't you believe in me? What did you guys think about? I like what he said. So So Bill Lasso brought up a few different things.
Like he'll play with you one time, and then you'll be looking for that forever. Push you on the swing.
He's like, I did my job.
I did my job. I'm done for the rest of my life. I did that one thing. That's all fatherhood was for our dads and the generations before. I'm like, I looked at him a few times. That's good. So the Ty Dunn article, like, we haven't discussed that as a podcast, obviously. I kind of stood away from it. But, like, John, you mentioned you weren't really happy with it. I didn't like the timing of it because it's and I knew that it was, like, perfect for sharing an article. And I've talked with Ty Dunn, by the way. Like, we've had him on the podcast once and interviewed him. And super nice guy. I mean, of course, you know, we're promoting his work and stuff like that. But, I mean, I've talked with people that are nice and some people that are fine. Like, no real jerks or anything. And he wasn't fine. He was a really nice guy and very cordial. So
it's interesting you mentioned timing because it's 4 years after the fact.
I meant timing like in this season. Yeah, why bring it up now, right? Why not bring it up in the off season?
Right. 4 years.
4 years ago.
And it was already dealt with and done.
For those
and now they're in, right?
Yes. A lot of players.
And you look at the rest of the article, it does feel very much like a hit piece. And trying to pump himself up and gain credibility to be, you know, go on to bigger and better things. And that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly didn't read the article completely when it came out. But, I mean, I've just been seeing bits and pieces of it. It definitely might be that. People said he had an axe to grind because he wasn't given media credentials for his blog Go Long. And so people thought he had an axe to grind. I don't know about that, but... I agree that the timing, maybe you said 4 years later, like, I just meant the timing in this season to do that. Like, right before the biggest game of the year, like, to post that article and then possibly divide the team. It's like, this is, as a fan, like, this is the last thing we need, is the Bills to, like, deal with another outside pressure, right? Like, we already dealt, like, the bye week brought Von Miller, you know, and that domestic violence accusation, arrest, I should say. So...
I don't care if it was this week, last week, or next week. It's just 4 years later. Why didn't he do it 4 years ago when it happened?
I haven't been following it closely either, but maybe it just came to his attention now.
Maybe. So for those that don't know, he like wrote that Sean McDermott, which Sean McDermott had to apologize for, said something to the effect of like before the 2019 training camp or during training camp that the team had to come together like the terrorists did for 9/11. Like that's like probably the worst analogy you could think of, like of a coordinated effort of people coming together and like kind of succeeding. That was,
isn't McDermott a veteran himself? Like,
no,
I thought he was.
No, I don't think so.
Well, either way, he did apologize that same day that it happened in 2019, right?
I believe so. And then he apologized just again, even though probably half the team isn't on the squad anymore, you know? So he has to apologize to people that weren't even there when it happened.
And from what I understand, I think they might have mentioned it on the broadcast, Mike Hyde and Josh Allen stood up after and said, you know, stand behind McDermott, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Wood talked before I was listening to his pregame discussion, and, you know, he's like, I played for Sean. He's like, and he demanded a lot. He's like, but I loved playing for Sean. He's like, so when you hear these things, he's like, they can't be taken at face value as that's the kind of person he is, because he's not that kind of person. You know, it's just what people think of when they hear it, right? Did you guys see the SNL skit on it last night? I retweeted it. I think you might have seen it, John, Mike.
Like the Weekend Update
bit? Yeah, the Weekend Update bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got to admit, like, as a Bills fan, like, even when the Bills get made fun of, I'm like, okay, that was kind of funny. So for those that didn't hear that, basically, real quick, they said that Sean McDermott used an analogy of 9/11, the terrorists coming together. He's like, you know, to come full circle, when Osama bin Laden was bringing together the terrorists to do 9/11, they said, don't be like the Buffalo Bills. So I was like, that's pretty good. That's fair. They earned that one. Anytime you can bring in a 4 Super Bowls joke and it's creative, it's done creative, I'm okay with it. I'm past that point. Brendan writes, no one but Allen on the offense shows up second half ever. It's just a ton of 3-and-outs unless Allen does something amazing. All the while, the D bends and breaks, letting the other guys into the red zone like a hot knife through butter. Yeah, where it feels like, I love what Brendan said, don't you? Because it's hard to disagree with any of that because... when was the last time you saw a player on the offense make a big play in the second half, right? Like a huge play. Like Hardy had that one really great catch, but I mean, who's killing themselves to make a play, I guess? I don't know. Just dropping passes, it feels like. Big R writes, we aren't making the playoffs if our second halves continue in this fashion. See, I didn't even think that was a major theme of this game, was first and second half, but great point. I mean, we scored 17 points in the first half, and or 14 points rather, and then they scored 6 points in the second half.
But like Kansas City, they scored 7 and then 10. What was
7
it?
And 10, yeah.
Yeah, so they didn't do that much better.
Yeah, true. I think Big R's just basically talking about how the whole season's kind of been, first and second half for the Buffalo Bills, you know? Remember a few years ago, it was like the third quarter was the worst quarter for the Bills, and then they'd pull it together in the fourth quarter. They're just not really doing it as much in the fourth.
Yeah. And like, I know they threw that one statistic about like since 2021, like 8-23 or something like that for like close games. Last year, I felt like they did significantly better than other years. And I don't know what the difference is. Maybe luck. I don't know.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's just law of averages, right? Regression to the mean. The Bills were 7-3 last season in close games. And now this season, they're what, 3-6? Like, that's kind of almost a mirror image of last season. I don't know if we can expect them to be 7-3 or 6-4 or 8-2 every year in close games.
If they're going to win out, they're going to win a couple of close games.
Yes. Yes, they do. AJ Tharp writes, great win, but it's not a good sign when Knox has better hands than Diggs. Yeah. That's awesome. Is it me, or does he not want to catch screen passes? That's a good point. He did not look like he was looking forward to that.
I will say that not only to Diggs, but to a couple different players, they look like there are some hospital balls out there.
Yeah.
One to Murray, I think. Maybe one or two to Diggs and one to another guy where it's like, why did we even throw that? And it's at like a line of scrimmage type of throw. And like the Chiefs are coming at him. It's like, why? Why are you doing that to your guy?
Yeah, why aren't you checking out of it, right? Why aren't you checking out of that play? It doesn't look like it's, yeah, good point. The Bills never succeed on those wide receiver screens either, you know? Like they keep trying them. Good for them to keep trying, but they don't succeed. Like other teams will get like 7 yards easily, maybe more if they break one. The Bills are lucky if they get 2 yards on those. Mostly.
And this game was probably one of their most successful games at doing that.
How are they so bad at it, though? It seems like they've never been good.
No.
Like they remember when we had Percy Harvin for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Did it work then? It might have worked then. That's the last time I can remember.
I mean, Percy Harvin only played like 6 or 7 games with the Bills, didn't he? Before he went out again or something?
Yeah.
I feel like it worked for me in Madden 96. And that was it.
I can't remember the last time it worked for the Bills. It feels like it works with every other team with ease. And the Bills just can't seem
without
to get
foul.
It. Like a screen pass. It's like the Bills are the screen pass, right? Like, I don't remember the last time I saw an actual screen pass to a running back where I'm like, that was a great play. What an amazing screen pass.
You mean you saw one today?
No.
Okay.
No, I can't remember. Andrew Freeman writes, they won in spite of McDermott's horrible end-of-game management. Did he want to prove his defense could get a stop in the fourth? Also, if we can beat Dallas next week, we are so back. Yeah. Absolutely. If they can get past Dallas, then it's just basically the Dolphins. And
well, I mean, we lost to Tampa and Denver and the Jets. Like, we got to beat all the teams. We got to get past all of them.
Yes. Yes.
There's no easy games. The Chargers. Herbert might be back. Who knows? Hard to say.
Yeah. Good point.
But the Patriots. We just got to beat the Patriots, right? That should be a gimme. That's the only gimme.
Yep.
But even then, they lost to the Patriots already. So
the Patriots just beat the Steelers.
Well, the Steelers have their own issues.
Yeah, but they need to continue to have more issues so we can pass them in the standings.
Yeah, there's lots of teams.
So like you mentioned, John, we are 11th in the conference at 7-6. So then that's because of their conference record. There are 4-5. And the only team with a worse conference record, of course, is the Bengals, but the Bengals have the head-to-head tiebreaker, so it doesn't matter what their conference record is ever. So then you're looking at the Broncos are 4-5, but it doesn't matter if the Bills have the same record as them, because no matter what, the Broncos have the tiebreaker. And then the Texans are 4-4, so they're just one loss away. They have one more loss to an AFC opponent, at least. And they're where we are. The Bills or the Colts are 5-4 in the conference, and so are the Steelers are 5-4. So we just need to all those teams to start losing. The Browns are 6-3 in the conference. Jeez. I don't think there's any way the Bills get past them. Unless they just start, well, they're 8-5 also, so they have a game on them, but at the same record, the Bills don't catch up with them. But if the Bills win out, they'll be 7-5 in the conference. So
they have to win out.
Have to win out. Or if they lose, I mean, it's like the Cowboys can be that only game, right? Because it matters the least. But you still need the
huge. It's still a huge drop, though.
It is.
The weight is so competitive in the AFC.
I mean, the Bills beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. Like, that can't be understated, right? Like I mean,
yeah, but they've done that 3 years in a row.
That's also fair. Just can't do it in the playoffs, right? Like when it...
Well, that one time, right? Like, and then the one time was in Buffalo. Was like there's no crowd.
Yeah. Of course. Mike Graham writes, Diggs is not playing elite football. He has a lot of drops this year and doesn't seem to be winning one-on-one plays. Also, please utilize Cook in the second half. The man is good at football. But I'll take an ugly win. Keep winning. Let's get the AFC East. Go Bills. Colby Pleasants, Colby puts it in perspective. With Allen, the Bills are always going to be competitive and in the conversation of a playoff team. I think with Allen, like, they're always in conversation to win every game almost, you know?
Agree, 100%.
Chris Allegret writes, finally won a close game. That's three and out after we got the turnover. That three and out after we got the turnover in the second half really could have ended our season. Give the ball to Cook some way, somehow. Where's Diggs? Sorry about all the negativity.
Yeah, all those three and outs in a row, that was not looking good at that point.
You know, Eric Wood said that in the pregame on the radio, Bills radio. He's like, the Bills have to limit the three and outs. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. They probably will now. that's just a killer. Big Mike writes, AJ Epinesa was definitely missed today, making all of us suffer watching number 40 go flat in the front like a damn Ken doll again. He did have like a sack. Didn't he have a sack? Hold on.
It was, no, he had the one play where it was a incomplete pass or the initial rule was a fumble. So they ended up kicking a field goal.
Oh, that's what it was.
It was like a third down play. So he did have that one play.
He had that one almost play where, you know, Mahomes was going down. He just tossed it up and it didn't go to anyone. But it didn't also get called for intentional grounding because there was a player within 10 yards or whatever.
But, I mean, if he didn't do that, then he could have completed the pass and they could have got a touchdown on the drive instead of a field goal.
Yeah, point. Karen, hashtag Let's Go Buffalo, says Bills win every single game in total chaos from here till the end of the playoffs. Hashtag go Bills, hashtag Bills Mafia.
I hope it's not total chaos. My heart can only handle
so
much.
Jeez. I don't wanna, I feel like I'm too young to die from this heart attack from watching the Bills. But the Red Eye Jedi says Gabe Davis should be benched, and I don't understand why they take Cook out of the game when he starts getting the hot hand every single time. Well, there's one point where he went out because he needed a breather. And that's when the offense really started to struggle. Did you notice that? I think it was the first half. Well, it must have been the first half because all of his yards were basically in the first half. Justin says, keep running Cook, bench Gabe Davis. Mahomes is a crybaby. Kadarius Toney is player of the game. Go Bills. Yeah, Wall of Fame, Kadarius Toney. Alexandra Olson says that they are going to, her hot take is they're going to get bounced the first round of the playoffs and McDermott will still be a mediocre coach. That also might happen. So that's the thing. The Bills could like fight and claw and scrape and like just barely get into the playoffs and then get bounced in the first round. That's definitely possible. Like I see both outcomes. I see them getting bounced in the first round and I see them making a ridiculous run too. Like I think both the Bills might get Daquan Jones back for the playoffs. It's a possibility. I'm not promising that, but and that would be so much better than having Jordan Phillips being your starter at defensive tackle. Like, it's such an upgrade.
Is Milano still on the table for the playoffs?
There have been, so, like, I forget, it was like week 4 or 5, I had Kyle Trimble from Banged Up Bills on, and he was pointing out instances where he's like, most likely to come back is Daquan Jones. He's like, I'm thinking it'll be around week 16 or week 17 where he starts to practice again. That's what he thought. He's like, unless he has a setback, which is possible to have a setback for a pectoral tear, just like any injury. He's like, but if everything goes well, he could be back by week 16 or 17 or at the beginning of the playoffs, right? Now, what he said with Matt Milano was if everything goes perfectly, perfectly being the key word, we might get Milano back by the playoffs. So if everything goes perfectly, maybe, maybe, which still I take, right? I would take that in an instant, the possibility that he might be back. Remember, Micah Hyde almost came back last season in the playoffs. The Bills have made it to the conference round.
Yeah, hopefully Micah Hyde's okay.
Yeah. Shiloh writes, we got lucky, but we were due because so many luck games went against us this year. Every game is a playoff game from here on out. That's a great point by Shiloh. It's we were due. We're finally due. Daniel Hirsch writes, I just want to thank Joe Shane for trading Tony to Kansas City so he could be offsides on the biggest play of the year for the Bills. Dustin Hall writes, Frank Wycheck passed away today. Lateral overturned. Curse lifted? Man, crazy. Crazy that was how it happened. Frank Wycheck, the father of the Music City Miracle, passed away today. That's young. What was he, like 50 maybe? 52? Jeez.
52.
Wow.
Why'd he die?
I think he fell in his home.
Oh, jeez.
And was later found unresponsive, from what I understand.
Oh.
Dang.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of jokes that you can make after that sad story. Jeez. Wasn't that what happened with Bob Saget? Bob Saget fell too, I think, and hit his head. It was just like by himself when it happened. And
At first when you were like the father of, I'm like, oh yeah, because I'm like, oh, the player Wycheck can't be that old. And then so you're like the father, I'm like, oh, his dad, that's sad, but why would the curse? Like, holy crap, Wycheck, the Music City, like, that was him.
Yeah, I know, right? Jeez. That's young. I
thought that guy was like 32.
He was 32 when he made the Music City Miracle.
Feels like 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
I said there's a lot more reasons to have for the curse than Wycheck. I would argue that Thurman Thomas finding out he was cut over watching TV would be a greater curse. That happened in the same year, right? 99.
Is that what happened? He found out he was cut while watching
TV. He was watching ESPN or whatever, and he's like, oh, I guess I'm cut. And he's like, screw you guys, I'm signing with Miami now. So like that's
but wouldn't the curse predate the Super Bowls?
And yeah, right.
Not including that.
It depends what there could be multiple curses too.
Dude, right? You're a conspiracy theorist, right? So like I read somewhere that the Giants said like the Bills were huge partiers back then. And the Giants before the Super Bowl sent hookers and blow over to the Bills.
To the hotel that the Bills are staying at?
Yeah.
Genius.
Well, the joke was on them because the Bills were also partiers, and that's also possibly a reason why they lost.
That's what I'm
saying.
That's
what Mike's saying.
Not just that Super Bowl, all the Super Bowls.
Oh, all those. Well, maybe they like the Chiefs or the Redskins called up the Giants players. You got any advice? Yeah, had send some hookers and blow.
Also, like if you remember X-Files, there was an episode where the cigarette smoking man.
Cancer man?
AKA Cancer Man. There was an episode where he said, the Buffalo Bills will never win a Super Bowl as long as I'm alive, right?
Yeah.
And the actor's still alive, so, you know.
Are we going to be on a death watch for that actor? Jeez. That sounds like a terrible thing to, like, hope for. He gets letters. His family
gets
letters.
It's the character, though, isn't it? Is the character still alive?
Well, I mean, the series has been brought back, and then it's like he was killed off, and then but like when they rebooted it, then he was back again.
Ah, really?
Maybe you need to write like a little mini episode where he dies, because I don't think it's the actor; I think it's the character.
Yeah, for sure, the character.
Well, the character never died, so there you go.
But
and I don't think they're bringing the X-Files back a third time.
The curse.
I'm just saying, John could write a little episode and post it. Like, hey, here's my X-Files episode.
I don't know if that counts because you got to go with like the directors and the people who originally did the story. Because anybody could just write anything, right?
Yeah, that's what they do, though.
I'm gonna write a story. Oh, the Bills with the Super Bowl.
Why not?
Is that gonna happen?
You're the one that's bringing up the conspiracy about the dude who says the thing, and I'm saying it's the character, not the dude. Because I don't want to wish for a dude.
But I didn't write the character. Somebody else wrote the character. Maybe that's the person.
Cinderella is a tale from 1,000 years ago that's been retold 500 different times, right? That's all I'm saying. like all those fairy tales have been just rehashed. Blah, blah, blah.
So you're saying, so you're saying John could write it too. It doesn't matter.
Yes. I'm not saying you need Vince Gilligan and the director of that thing. And
Chris Carter and Vince Gilligan to do it. Yeah.
And Fox Mulder back. Right. You don't know everybody.
I could, I could write it right now. Intro, office building of the FBI.
Smoking close man.
Close up of an ashtray.
First episode of the reboot.
A cigarette gets tapped, blowing more ashes on it. You look up from the cigarette to see an old man. Hair falling out. Skinny, no color. No color in his skin.
Pullback reveals.
Pullback reveals.
It's Cancer Man.
It's Cancer Man in his deathbed in the FBI building.
At that moment, Josh Allen throws a Super Bowl when he touches him.
But not until you hear beep. End scene.
End scene. Fade out.
Yeah. It's not that hard.
I'll write something up.
Did you see, I think I forwarded that meme to you guys. You guys talking about the curse made me think of O.J. Simpson, like as being part of the curse or something for some reason, like the Bills drafting him or him just being associated with the Buffalo Bills. And it was like this guy. It was so funny. He's just like you could see him like clicking through his computer. And the caption was like me finding out what O.J. Simpson really did. And he's just clicking on. He's just like, oh, my God. Oh, geez. 273 yards against the Lions. Anyway. It's good. Anakin Skywalker says 2-week layoff after a crushing defeat in Philly. Season on the line. Another week of PR poison. Offense wins the race to 20. Defense wins it on the field late in Arrowhead. Never trailed. Huge W for McDermott. Hot take. Be the game that sparks the fire and the rally. Oh, man. Like, could you see that being like what it is? Like, I love what Anakin says there because I think that that's definitely a possibility. I think this could be, like, Mike, you said this could be where they start a run. They go 11-6. And every team in the NFL, just like that season, was afraid to play them because they had a perfect game offensively against the Patriots. And then they had another great game against the Chiefs. It just, you know. So I don't have to get into that. But yeah, that's what I'm hoping. So thank you guys all for writing in for those hot takes. Those were amazing. Definitely be sure to check out our Twitter page. We're doing a couple of different giveaways. One for our Tee Public store where we're giving away a hoodie right before Christmas. And then the other one is we're teaming up with the Erie County SPCA. To get some pets adopted, we're giving away a Thurman Thomas signed jersey. So hoping to help out that organization, help some pets find homes. And if you've left us a review in this season, you are eligible to win a shirt from our Tee Public store. So we're going to give away a hoodie next week. So make sure to get your reviews in next week. But I'm going to give away two t-shirts this week, two t-shirts to listeners. Hey, real quick, before I announce the two winners, shout out to Stu McAllister, a guy who's been listening to the podcast for a while, who's been very active, like, you know, on social media, promoting us and stuff like that. Part of the Western Michigan Bills backer, sent us some cool stuff to the CTW PO box, which was awesome. So shout out to Stu. He won last week and he gave his t-shirt to a friend of his who's also a listener. Gave his shirt to a friend of his. He said, you know, give it to this guy. He's good shit. So hats off to Stu.
Wait, did he win and then he sent you that stuff as a thank you? Or?
No, he sent the stuff way before. So shout out to Stu. Thanks for that swag, that Western Michigan Bills backer swag. But no, he sent that before he found out he won.
Wow. And you yeah. So, but you made me go pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, just in case.
You don't trust him that much.
Like, Mike, take a big whiff as soon as you open the... Let me know if there's...
What does anthrax smell like, though?
Do you ever see that movie, This Is the End, with, like, Seth Rogen and James Franco, like, mm-hmm. all those famous guys from their movies? And, like...
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name? Who's that dorky kid that was in Superbad? Michael Cera. So Michael Cera is like a total badass in that movie, right? Like everyone thinks he's this nice guy on screen, but he's like a druggie. Like he's like, you know, having like orgies in the bathroom sort of thing. And he goes up to one of these guys. He's just like, hey, man, the other kid that was in Superbad, the McLovin kid. He's like, oh, hey, Michael, how's it going? He's like, good. He's like, hey. He's like, how does this Coke smell? He goes, and he blows it in his mice. He's like, oh, dude, oh, shit. He's like, dude, I've never done Coke before, man. And Michael Cera, who's like coked out of his mind, he's like, well, then you're doing some pretty good shit right here. But, so you're welcome. So, yeah, like how'd that anthrax smell? So shout out to Stu for that.
Did I show you what happened to me when I went to go pick up that freaking thing?
No.
Because Jan doesn't know the story, but like you told, like, oh, you got to go get, he must have told you he was sending you something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you only know him from the internet.
Yeah. Only
like
from
all
the
you
internet.
Know, for all you know, he could want to wear your skin as a suit.
Skin as a suit. Yeah. Right. So I didn't give him my address.
I go pick up the thing, but like I have to go into the post office late and it was like really, it was snowing that day. It was like my first snow of the year. And I was like, push the button to see if I can get into the P.O. box, like push the button for like the handicap door or whatever. So it stays open. So I'm like, I always go as fast as I can. I just hit that linoleum floor and just boom down.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Cause it was so slippery.
My whole side of my body is like black and blue.
Oh, jeez. Really? Oh, well, don't show me the front of it. Mike's unbuckling right now. Oh damn!
Yeah,
that's the size of that's the size of a baseball right there. Did you fall?
Baseballs are bigger than others.
Size of a what? Did you say a dong? Yeah.
Some baseballs are bigger than others, John.
Mike, you could have shown us what it looked like to fall on your ass with keeping your underwear on. You have to drop trowel. That's funny. So you slipped because it was so wet from the snow, not because you were running in because you were afraid somebody was going to come after you. You don't go there because you're scared. You're just trying to run in.
Push the button and see if you can get to the P.O. box and back for the dark left.
So
like trying to go. Yeah, yeah.
You're trying to time yourself as if it's a race that you made up in your mind.
Yeah. Trying to stay young, man.
Yeah, that's one way to do it until you break a hip.
Yeah, it aged me quite a bit.
Dude, I tweaked my neck 2 weeks ago. It still hurts. It probably just slept on it slightly simply off a half a degree. And now I'm like barely checking my blind spots while I'm driving. I'm like, I'm pretty good.
Yeah. New technology.
I have insurance.
This happened to me while I was checking my blind spot. Literally, like I'll go to check my blind spot. Oh, my neck. Oh, my God.
We're doing this now at our age. Soon it'll be like, I had an aneurysm. I was checking my blind spot. So I'll do the winners real quick for the listeners to the people who have left a review on our Circling the Wagons podcast feed. So if you just search Circling the Wagons, you can find us on Buffalo Rumblings and we have our own feed. So if you leave us a review there, you are eligible to win a shirt or giveaway from our TeePublic store. So the first winner for the first T-shirt is Jonathan Gage, another winner. Jonathan, by the way, if you've done this before, like you're probably going to win again. Jonathan's won at least once, maybe two other times. So make sure you get your names in there. And the second winner is Margie Lube. That's kind of a cool name. Margie Lube. So you guys are both Margie and Jonathan, both winners. Make sure to DM me over Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, email us ctwpod@gmail.com. Email us there. By the way, I apologize. There's a few of you that have emailed us over the last couple of weeks. I'm sorry that I haven't gotten to you. It's just been a crazy couple of weeks and it's going to continue to be crazy with the holidays coming. But know that I read those and I really appreciate you guys writing them. I didn't have enough time to bring them up on the podcast because of when we post and sometimes it's relevant, sometimes it's not. I mean, the sports world, I mean, anything before the Sean McDermott news was relevant until that. And then it's just like no one cares about the Bills, you know, second half woes because Sean McDermott just compared 9/11 to whatever. So anyway.
Well, he didn't just compare it. He compared it 4 years ago and already addressed it.
Yes, correct. It was just brought to light that he did such a thing.
And now he's addressing it again.
Wouldn't it suck? Like we've all had our bad mistakes at work or something like that. Like I've told the mistake of how like I didn't report when I was part of the health committee at this job I hated. Like, I didn't report that somebody bled on the manufacturing floor or something. And, like, I didn't report it right away. And I was just like...
You're old school, man.
They were just like, yeah, just take care of it, right? And so, like, I got in trouble for that. And, like, that was... I wouldn't be happy if, like, that kept brought up out of the blue. Someone's like, hey, weren't you part of the health committee and you didn't report it when someone bled on the floor or something like that? Or I forget. Yeah. I mean, it got cleaned up, obviously, but, you know. Got taken care of.
Not with disinfectant. But
No.
It got wiped around.
A few people slipped on it first, though, so that I probably should have reported. People running to help the guy that just got cut. So any final thoughts before we end this? This was a lot of fun talking to you guys. Appreciate everyone for listening to this episode. Obviously a great win for the Bills, a win that, if you asked me during the game, I would have said no. In fact, I did a poll, like, when it was tied up 17-17, how confident are you in the Bills winning this? And 86% of the people were like, not at all. So I think we were all in the same boat.
That's a big difference from do you think they'll win to confident, right, too. So it's just
that was my fault. I should have said, do you think they'll win?
No. If that was your intent, like, am I confident about something I have absolutely no control over? Not really, if it's a tie score.
I think another.
I think they can win. Absolutely.
I think it's semantics. Like, that question.
Agree.
Like, meant, yeah, either or.
Oh,
to me. To me, it's like, do you think they're going to win? It's the same difference.
Yeah, I agree with John.
I would have said no.
It's not at all the same.
I know technically it's not, but I think the meaning, the intent behind it.
Listen,
I think most people reading it would have felt the same.
We just have to come together as a podcast, like a certain group of people that did so a long time ago when they were in SEAL Team 6 and took out Osama bin Laden. Why didn't they just use that? Why didn't he use that analogy? SEAL Team 6, that's a great coordination teamwork analogy. And it doesn't have to do with siding with the terrorists. But anyway, again, not the biggest deal in my opinion. But if you were on the outside and you didn't care about the Bills whatsoever and you heard somebody making light of 9/11, you'd be like, why would you ever do that? But so thank you guys all for listening. Signing off for John.
John, here's the letter that Nate wanted me to go pick up. Doesn't you know what the stamp looks like? The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, wait. Isn't that what he put? Didn't he put the butterflies on all their mouths after he killed them? Wasn't that his thing?
I don't know. That's what the poster shows.
And that's the stamp that you used?
No, that's a stamp that one of the listeners
sent to Nate, and I picked
someone
up
sent to
him.
Me. No, man, he's just like really cool, guys.
When you tune out. You just tune out.
John's been tuned out for the last half hour.
I've been so happy that the Bills actually won a game that
it's like I can't get enough.
Well, actually, so that's another factor, right? The Bills have won every other game for a while, right? Which is something that has happened before too, but that's a little concerning as well. It's like, oh, they won a game, but they lost the last game, won, and then lost, and one loss. So not the best thing to end on, but sure, that's the thing.
Well, I think they could easily, maybe this is the time where it finally the ball starts bouncing the other way for the Bills.
Yeah.
And they make up for it. That's all we can hope. Let's stay positive.
Yeah, I guess.
So thank you guys.
I think you can still one more and be fine. I think they can definitely do it.
Man, they just need some things to go their direction. If they do,
there's too many teams in the mix. Like, I'd rather. Why can't they just win out? They have the team to do it. They should be the best team in the league, right? Could you argue that they're the best team in the league? The Bills are the best team in the league right now. Who's better than the Bills?
Eagles,
49ers.
Okay.
Sometimes the
name an AFC.
Maybe the Ravens.
Okay, Ravens. Name another team outside of the Ravens in the AFC better than the Bills.
Maybe the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But they just beat the Chiefs.
But they could lose to them.
Dude, again. You played 100 times. I don't know.
I don't think you're getting my point. They should be a playoff team, right?
Oh, yes. The Bills have the Bills have the third highest point differential in the AFC, and they're the 11th ranked team right now.
They're amazing.
Right.
Yeah,
and
they are
they probably need to win out to make the playoffs, which is sad, but if any team can do it, they can, because they're one of the best teams in the league.
Mm-hmm. True. But they also, because they're one of the best teams that's out of that, you know, group, and they won their division, they're going to have one of the tougher schedules, too. So that's the only thing that's not in their favor. Yeah. the remaining schedule. And those other teams that are 7-6 probably have a lot easier schedule because they weren't good last season. I'm looking at the Colts, the Texans.
Yes, but you can't take anything for granted. So, you know, I think they can win out, and I think they will win out, but I don't want to take anything for granted. I don't want to count on other things happening.
You're right. Win out. On that note, signing off for John.
Go Bills.
And for Mike.
Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, win out. Don't even let the tiebreakers come into question. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.